Good morning. This is May 3rd, and we're going to be looking at scripture here from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
This is considered Jubilant Sunday, but here we are caught in the middle of a pandemic, and you might be tempted to think, well, where are you, God? Why don't you stop this? Are you really there? Everyone goes through doubts in their faith, even Mother Teresa. She once wrote to her spiritual director, "When I try to raise my thoughts to heaven, there is such convicting emptiness that those very thoughts return like sharp knives and hurt my very soul. Love, even the word, sometimes it brings nothing. I am told that God lives in me, and yet the reality of darkness and coldness and emptiness is so great that nothing touches my soul." Well, her spiritual director reassured Mother Teresa with this basic message. The fact that you have doubts means that your faith is real. No doubts, no testing. No testing, no real faith. In essence, show me a faith that has never experienced doubt, and I'll show you a day-old faith, or even worse, a pretend faith. A fake faith. At times we may doubt whether God hears our prayers. Sometimes we wonder when young children die, or when an evil person seems to succeed in life, or we go through a great challenge, like our current crisis. Everyone has doubts, and they're actually good for you because they drive you back to the risen Lord for answers.
Let's look at today's scripture at a guy who had doubts and how Jesus addressed them. You'll find it in John chapter 20, verses 19 and 20, and verses 24 through 29. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed."
Well, we all know that Thomas gets a pretty bad rap for his doubts. He even earns the nickname Doubting Thomas. Yet, Thomas was just as committed as the other disciples, perhaps even more so in some ways. As you might recall, just weeks before Easter, Jesus told the disciples that he had to go to Bethany because his friend Lazarus was very sick. Now, most of the disciples cautioned him away from the idea because of all the hatred that was brewing near Jerusalem for Jesus. Yet, Thomas responded, and we read this in John 11, verse 16, where he states, "Well, let us go, all of us, that we may die with him." So on one hand, the guy seems a little pessimistic, but on the other, you have to give Thomas an A for bravery. He was willing to stick his neck out on the line, and it was Thomas who responded a little later to Jesus' assurances of heaven. Jesus was telling his disciples in John 14 that he had to go away to prepare a place for them. Jesus told them they knew the way. But it was only Thomas who was brave enough to ask the question that was on everyone's mind when he asked of the Lord, "Well, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" You know, I'm glad that he asked, because this prompted Jesus to respond with one of my favorite verses. Jesus says, "In return, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me," and we see this as stated in John 14, verses 5 through 6.
Yes, Thomas had his gutsy moments, but by the time Jesus went to the cross, Thomas, along with every other disciple except John, had scattered to the four winds. They're all cowering in fear and self-preservation. On that first Easter morning, the two Marys encountered the risen Lord, as did Peter and John. Then, on Sunday night, 10 of the disciples met Jesus face to face. Christ spoke right to their doubts as he showed them his hands and his side, proving to him it was really him. But where was Thomas? We really don't know for sure, but can you imagine the shock that he felt when the others told him, "We saw him alive"? Thomas is the original Missourian as he replied, "Show me." Let's think about Thomas's example as we, like him, go through our own times of doubt. How can you defeat your doubts? Well, here are three ideas. One must first guard in your low times. When you're really down, really depressed, don't make any rash decisions. Don't go out and buy a motorcycle or decide to quit your job or decide to move or decide to get married or decide to get divorced. Give yourself some time to get through the low times before you act impulsively. And so it is with doubts. Don't give in to them in the midst of your depression. Just recognize them for what they are. They're doubts. Okay, you have doubts? That means you have faith. Good job. Your faith is more than your doubts.
As we look closely at Thomas, we see that he was certainly in a personally depressed time. His Lord had been crucified, his life was in jeopardy, and his hopes were dashed. And maybe that's why he went away from the others, so he could grieve by himself. Now, we don't know this for sure, but fortunately, while he was away, while he chose to isolate himself, he did not do anything rash. Eventually, he returned to his friends, his fellow disciples, which reminds us of another doubt defeater technique, and that is to draw strength from others. You know, it was when Thomas was away, when he did this form of isolation, that his doubts held sway. Isolation magnified those doubts. He missed Jesus' visit because he had left his fellow believers. So sort of as an analogy, when we separate a coal from the rest of the fire, well, what happens? It goes out. We simply need each other. When you feel least like going to church, that's when church is needed the most. When you most want to hide out, that's when you need to force yourself to reach out to others, if not in person, then by phone or by some form of FaceTime. Together, we are the body of Christ, and when one hurts, the whole body hurts. When one celebrates, the whole body celebrates. Where two or more are gathered, even when socially distanced, Jesus is there in the midst.
If you look at the post-resurrection appearances, Jesus almost always appeared to groups of people, not individuals. Mary and Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, the two friends on the road to Emmaus, the 10 disciples, a week later to the 11 disciples, later to 500 people at once, and after that to 120 folks gathered at Pentecost. Jesus seemed to honor groups. We need each other to fight off the doubts. And thirdly, to defeat those doubts, we need to meet the risen Lord. That's what did it for Thomas, who then fell on the ground and proclaimed, "My Lord and my God!" Scripture indicates he didn't need to touch Jesus' scars. For him, seeing was believing, as it was for all those other eyewitnesses. One argument for the certainty of the resurrection is that these people talked about it, and they wrote about it, and even died for their beliefs. This time in history was a very dangerous time to express faith in Christ, with a hostile, distrusting Roman government and a cunning and protective Jewish religious elite. All but one of the disciples would end up as a martyr, proclaiming the risen Christ with their very last breath. As you may recall from our Easter sermon, Lee Strobel was by trade a lawyer and an investigative journalist. According to him, two of the most skeptical career fields around. As a devout atheist, he set out to disprove his fiancée's Christian faith. For example, the evidence that Christ rose from the dead. In his research, he ended up becoming a devout believer, proclaiming, "It would take more faith for me to remain an atheist than to believe." He wrote a book in 1998, which has become a movie in 2017, entitled The Case for Christ. In it, he talks about how people, no doubt, will lie, but people will not give their life for a lie. Yet each of these disciples went to their death proclaiming Jesus has risen.
So what about us? Well, Jesus speaks directly to us in John chapter 20, verse 29, when he says, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Isn't that the essence of true faith, to believe without seeing? Someday we won't need faith anymore because we shall behold him face to face. But until then, we put our hope in the risen Lord, even when we don't have all the answers. And we trust and we wait in that future that he will reveal the answers to us. Meanwhile, God gives us evidences of his existence every day. We hear him as kind of speaking our thoughts as we read scripture. And we see his beauty in creation and his love through the kind act of a friend or a spouse. You know, we see his redemptive work as someone discovers hope or meaning or peace for the first time. And we see his faithfulness day after day, as we know we do not walk this life alone. Furthermore, we are motivated by others following their faith. You know, we think of saints such as Mother Teresa, who persisted even in the midst of her doubts. And we consider the biblical characters as Thomas himself, who through tradition tells us would later spread the gospel in India, where he would eventually give his life for his God.
And so we resonate with the words of the Apostle Peter, no doubt recalling this particular event. When Thomas got to see his risen Lord, many years later, Peter would write to the young believers in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for Thomas, a real guy who had real doubts and wanted evidence over blind faith. Jesus, thank you that you met him right where he was. And thank you that you will do the same for each of us. Help us to take care when we are feeling down, to surround ourselves with loving believers, and to bring our doubt to you, the risen Lord, knowing that you are more than sufficient in all ways. Amen.